Freeze.
You hear something?
I think so. It can't be long now.
Why the hell did they choose this part of the border?
Who knows? All I know is they want him out. Taurus will play merry hell if we lose this one.
Wait. Huh? Yes, look over there. 2 o'clock, about 200 yards, by the trees.
Keep the glasses on him. As soon as he... Oh, God, no! The light, the searchlight, they're onto him.
They picked him up.
He's running for it. Try to kill that light.
He's caught up in the wire.
They've hit him. Come on. We can't get closer than this.
Taurus! Taurus, here! Can you speak?
Help! Taurus! They've blown Fellbridge!
God, can we get to him?
There's no chance. Taurus isn't interested in corpses anyway.
London, we present Fell Swoop by Gordon Lyle.
Did Harold tell you how long he'd be, Miss Bradshaw?
No, Mr. Coyd, he didn't know you were coming to see him again.
I see. The files, they must be returned before he leaves this evening.
They usually are, Mr. Coyd.
Not always, Miss Bradshaw. What's in this packet?
Cheese, Wensleydale. I got it for him in the lunch hour. I'll tell Mr. Hurrell you couldn't wait, shall I?
Miss Bradshaw, the job I do here isn't an easy one. People don't seem to appreciate that when something goes wrong here at Fellbridge, I'm the one left holding the baby.
Are there two S's in deliquescence? Mr. Hurrell's writing's worse than a doctor's.
Del what?
Deliquescence, the state of being unliquefied.
Oh, I can't say offhand.
Not to worry.
Can I see?
Mr. Hurrell doesn't like outsiders looking at his notes, Mr. Coyd.
I'm a security officer, Miss Bradshaw. It might be a good idea if you and I had a little chat soon.
Sounds lovely, Mr. Coyd, but I really must get on with this typing. Mr. Hurrell will want to read it through.
Is he working over the weekend?
I don't know his plans. I shall have to come in tomorrow to get this finished.
It seems to me that he's got plenty to fill his spare time. Working late at the office is the classic excuse, isn't it?
Is that what you tell your wife, Mr. Coyd?
I don't think I'll wait any longer. I hope Mrs. Harrell's better soon.
She's fine, as far as I know.
I just thought with you buying the groceries that she must be ill. Or away, perhaps.
If you must know, Mr. Coyd, Mrs. Hurrell rang me herself and asked me to get the cheese. Mr. Hurrell has got the car today.
So you popped out for it. Very kind action. Do you see her often, socially?
No, I don't.
Only when they run out of cheese, eh? I suppose they must have people for dinner.
Oh, what makes you suppose that, Mr. Coyd?
Oh, for the weekend, perhaps. Is that why Mr. Hurrell's got the car? I see him most mornings walking up from the village. He's fond of walking, I know.
Mr. Coyd, that is Mr. Hurrell's diary.
I thought it was. Yes. There you are. I was right. Ah, 6:04.
Well, really?
6:04. That'll be the London train, won't it? Ah, must be someone who likes his Wensleydale cheese, wouldn't you say so? Well, I can see you're very busy, so I won't take up any more of your time, Miss Bradshaw. You will remind Mr. Hurrell, won't you, that the Project F1 files booked out to him since 11 a.m. Wednesday must be returned before he leaves to meet? On no account must they be kept out during the weekend.
Yes, Mr. Coyd.
That's a good girl. I'll contact you sometime about our little chat.
God give me strength.
All clear? What did she want this time?
Did you see him leave, Matthew?
Yes, I just had time to duck round the corner.
Oh, that man's poison.
Did he say what he wanted, Pat?
Just snooping, as usual.
Huh? Why?
Oh, asking this, hinting that, nasty little toad. He says all the F1 files booked out to you must be returned before you leave.
He told me that yesterday, and the same thing last Friday.
He hasn't got anything better to do, I suppose. He's got to justify being chief security officer somehow.
By making other people feel insecure, eh?
I don't think he's ever forgiven you for nicknaming him Betsy. Everybody calls him Betsy Goyd now.
You must have been in this office 16 times in the past few weeks.
Who's counting?
And people are beginning to notice. Even Derek Shaw referred to your girlfriend Betsy. It's getting up my nose.
You know, Matthew, I have an idea. He might have heard something about you and Jean Hepton.
Why do you say that?
Oh, we made some snide remarks about you having plenty to do in your spare time. I may be wrong. He's just evil-minded about everything.
I don't think he could know about Jean. I haven't seen her in months. Not to talk to.
Then I'm probably wrong. I'm sorry that I haven't got this report finished yet. I'll come in tomorrow morning and finish it off.
Bless you. We really must have it for Monday, or I'd say don't bother.
Mr. Coyd was also interested in your friend coming up from London.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. He looked in your diary.
You know, love, this is getting a bit much. I'm getting sick and tired of him, Betsy Coyd, on my back. I'm going to do something about him.
Be careful of him, Matthew. And for goodness sake, take the files back before you go.
For heaven's sake, Tyke, get from under my feet.
Are that you, Matt?
Who else are you expecting? Now get down, boy. Go on. Go on, in there. We'll have to start keeping that mad animal out in the back. He jumps all over you. Hello, love.
Oh, that's more than some do.
And what does that mean?
Had a bad day.
You could say that. Where's that beer?
Well, it usually is, in the cupboard.
Do it yourself, or they call me.
Well, you can see I'm busy doing this.
You want some?
Please.
As usual, all head and no body. Here you are. Cheers. Our lovable security officer came round yet again today.
Betsy Coyd.
Who else? I've always thought myself a bit of a pacifist. So why, when that man comes into my office, do I want to break his neck?
Yeah, I don't know why you let him get you like this. I mean, when you started in this work, you knew how strict the security was, didn't you?
I don't mind that, love. If I did, I wouldn't have signed the Official Secrets Act in the first place. What I hate is the petty insolence of people like Coyd, who've never given anything to the world and wouldn't lift a damn finger to help their fellow men. Lord, that sounds like a commercial, doesn't it? But there are times when I ask myself just who the real enemies are, and why those of us who believe that what we do could be used for the benefit of the entire world knuckle down and take orders from them.
Here endeth the gospel according to St. Matthew.
Oh, well, I'm sorry if I'm boring you. Let's forget the old subject.
Oh, don't be so touchy. I'm not bored. But it's difficult to believe that anyone as stupid and pompous as Betsy Coyd can really get up your nose. I mean, if he can, then it's high time that you moved somewhere else.
I might have known we'd get round to that sooner or later.
Well, we did consider it before, didn't we?
I know we did. Not seriously. Not just as the breakthrough came.
Oh, I wouldn't mind. I always loved it round here, but you know as well as me, things that happen to you in a place can alter your outlook.
How much longer is that going to stay at number one in your top 20 grudges? It's over and done with. Now, how many times do I have to say I'm sorry?
You don't, not to me, anyway. But you have to show me that you're not sorry it's finished. Look, it's easier for you out at work all day. I see more of the local people than you do. Oh, I would like to get away from this place and start again somewhere else. And then perhaps we could get back to something like... When we...
Oh, I know. We'll manage it all right. And without running away. Even with all the frustration and the suspicion. We've just about got the old job sewn up. Be daft now to apply for a transfer, wouldn't it? Really?
Yes, of course it would. Oh, well, I better get on with this salad.
Great. I love that. What are we going to have with it?
Lamb chops. Ed, did you bring the Wensleydale?
What Wensleydale?
What? Matt Horrell, for a clever man, you're an awful idiot. I suppose it's on your desk.
Don't hit me. I'll use it as a paperweight.
Well, what will the Robin do now, poor thing? Here he is, coming again all the way from London on his own invitation, without so much as a may I, and you've forgotten his favourite cheese. I should think he'd be definitely put out.
Oh, look at the time. His train's almost due in. I shan't be long. I only nicked in to say hello.
Hello.
There you are. That's his car in the station forecourt, Inspector, the Blue Miner Estate.
Yes?
I don't think we should close in any nearer. I don't want to risk him spotting me.
You'd better keep well down when they come out.
Yes. What a good job I looked in his diary.
I would have thought in the circumstances that would have been done regularly.
Well, I never expected him to make a note of it.
An error, Mr. Coyd. What time is it?
Just on 6. I don't think anyone else would have thought to look in a diary lying there on his desk.
But there it was for all to see. R604.
Oh, it could have been anything, R604. If I hadn't put 2 and 2 together, it all fits, doesn't it?
That's why I'm here.
He's your man, believe me. I've had the feeling since I first met him. That's why I followed it through. That's why I've spent so much time, my own time, on Harrell. Now there's this joker he's meeting off the train. I know I'm right. The thing that puzzles me is how Harrell slipped through the net in the first instance. I tell you, if I'd been in charge of his security clearance, there'd have been a very different story.
Now there's the train. Now pass me those binoculars. I want a close look at our London friend.
Ah, this is her. You want dinner, sir?
No, I'm supposed to be meeting a friend of it.
Oh, it don't look like there's nobody getting off here, does it? Fellbridge! Fellbridge!
Are you sure?
No, there's nobody wants this station by the look of it.
What time's the next one?
There ain't another one. Not tonight. Up and your friend will have to wait till morning. Right, all guard!
Is Inspector coming out now?
He's alone.
That's funny.
Remind me to laugh.
But it's most odd. Do you think they're on to us?
You tell me, Mr. Coyd. You've had all the answers so far.
Shut up, you silly beggar. It's only me. I live here too, remember? Come down, chap. Go down. It's only me, Rainey.
All right.
He wasn't there. He must have missed it.
Go on in the front room. Would you like a beer?
I wouldn't say no.
I'll bring it in.
Ta.
How do, our Matthew?
Robin.
How is it, eh?
I'm right well. I've been down to the station to meet you, you beggar.
Yes, Rainey told me. I'm sorry about that.
Hey, what happened?
I changed my mind at the last moment. I decided to drive up. I should have phoned. I didn't realise you'd meet my train.
Leave a friend to find his own way. That's not how we do it in Yorkshire, lad. You should know that. Have you got a drink?
No, I've only just arrived, about a couple of minutes before you.
I'll go and get you one. Beer suit you?
Fine.
It's good to see you, mate. Shot me a tick. Rainey, you didn't give Rob a drink.
Oh, that's typical of my Lord Tom Noddy, that is. He could have been waiting down there all night for him.
These are beers. Right. But don't look so ruddy disapproving, love. He didn't think, that's all.
He didn't care, more like.
Pour yourself a drink and come and join us.
Look, I'm getting the supper. Tell me when he's ready for it, will you?
Rainey, love, have a day off, will you? There you are, boy. Get yourself outside of this.
Thanks. Cheers.
Cheers.
Rainey doesn't seem too happy, Matt.
Oh, you know her. She doesn't mean it. It's a way. Her disapproval is meant to show concern.
Mm.
Well, what sort of a run-up did you have then?
Oh, very relaxing. How are things?
Work-wise or life-wise?
Both. Last time I was up here a month ago, you were cock-a-hoop about one and not too happy about the other.
Yes, I suppose I was. Well, now it's the other way around.
Things okay at home?
Fine.
But work not too good. Well, what's happened? You said you'd struck oil with that problem you've been working on for the last 3 years. You were full of it.
Yes, I reckon I was.
You even tried to explain it to me. Oh, my physics is a bit rusty, but I got the main drift. It's a fantastic breakthrough, isn't it? And you'd good reason to be chuffed. What's the snag?
I don't know, Rob. I can't put my fingers on it, but I've got a feeling I'm being, well, looked at sideways.
What do you mean?
I don't know, but it's as if they don't trust me or something.
Oh, good heavens.
I had an interview with the director this week. Wasn't anything he said, but he was uneasy, embarrassed.
Are you sure you're not imagining?
Then there's this Burke of a security bloke we've got. Do you know he's been in my office on some pretext or other 16 times in the last few weeks?
Well, is that unusual?
Unprecedented. He hates my guts. And he's been poking his nose into my private life.
I see. Well, I suppose that's his job.
Is it? I don't think so.
You're a valuable commodity, Matt.
I'm a man, Rob, not a scientific battery hen. And I'm not having my beak clipped. I'll tell you something else. I haven't told Rainey, but I think they're tapping our phone.
Oh, surely not.
Well, there's a funny clicking sound. There never was before. I've never heard it on any phone.
Do you look under the bed before you go to sleep?
I'm serious, Rob.
Are you?
Yes, and I'd like your advice. I've always been able to talk to you.
Yes, I know, Matt.
Perhaps in a way it's easier, because you were part of it. Now you're not. It's a closed little community up here. We're quite cut off. Apart from when you can manage a weekend, I never talk to anyone much about anything.
What about Renee?
Ah, she doesn't take a great deal of notice. It's artificial for anybody to devote their whole life to work they can't share, that they're not even supposed to talk about. Here, more beer.
I see your point. Yeah, no thanks.
They're even interested in you, apparently.
Are they? How?
The security idiot Coyd looks in my diary.
I see. Matt, have you ever mentioned to anyone about my visits or our chats?
Never.
Well, then I don't see that my appearance should give rise to any concern. I'll tell you what, though, if it'll ease your mind at all, I'll check your phone, see if I hear anything unusual.
Would you? I could go out to the phone box on the corner.
No, I'll go. I'm absolutely sure you're worrying over nothing, Matt. I mean, in this country, they just don't do that sort of thing.
Albert 36. That you, Rob? Did you hear those clicks? That's the sort of thing I mean. What do you make of it? Robin? That's funny. Didn't even answer.
Perhaps it wasn't Robin.
Well, Inspector, R has arrived again, all right. They've started checking on their own account. They must be worried.
You don't expect him to let us make all the moves, do you?
If you ask me, Formby is another link in the chain, the contact for passing information back. And if R is worried about us, he could be the one to get Harrow out of the country.
You're letting things run away with your coid. Now, what do we know about this Formby? Nothing. Except that he visits the Harrods occasionally.
Pardon me, I know a bit more than that. The last time I was down in London, I made a few discreet inquiries. For a start, the business address listed as his is a phony.
What else?
He was at Oxford University at the same time as Harrow.
So?
He has a first-class science degree. After that, it was like running into a brick wall.
I see. You're sure about that?
R.F. Formby. It must be the same one. You're not telling me that he and Harrell are meeting just for the sake of their health. They're chalk and cheese, man. Look at Harrell's background. At university, he had strong left-wing associations. Then there's his business with a married woman. There might be others. There's his attitude to my position, over the files particularly. He's been downright boshy. He's a keen photographer, does his own developing and that. Lastly, the fact that he has a shortwave receiver. Just the job for picking up messages.
How did you find that out?
By asking. He's quite brazen about it. He's so arrogant that he doesn't seem to realize that he betrays himself every time he opens his mouth.
You don't like him, do you, Coyd?
No, I don't. He's a sloppy, careless individual, and I believe he's a traitor.
Personal dislike is a bad motive in our game, Coyd. And don't forget one thing. When Harold started here, the secret nature of his work was fully explained. He signed the act, and he was given a full security clearance at that time.
Yes. And you know what I think about that. If I'm imagining things, what are you doing here?
It's no secret. Somebody has blown this place wide open. 3 years of research down the drain. Certain people are naturally annoyed and want the leakage stopped. One of the two people in possession of all the facts is Matthew Harrell. The agent who was killed trying to cross the border said something like Harry, or something that could be Harrell. Taurus put a question mark against him, and that's where this investigation originated. And the whole damn file has got to be reopened.
He's the man you want, and he knows it. And Formby. When are you going to pull them in?
Hold your horses. We can't move until we get the word from London. I rang the office half an hour ago.
What did they say?
Nothing. Apparently Taurus had gone home for the weekend.
Typical Whitehall mentality is that. 10 to 5 and the country can go to hell. I wonder how Formby reached the house without coming through Fellbridge Station.
Perhaps he flew in. Anyway, if we've got to clip his wings, the decision may rest with us. I'll tell you when to start running.
Continental dressing.
What?
Oil and vinegar. Trust him to want that.
Improves the salad. Really was a very nice meal.
It could have been even nicer with the cheese. It's in your office. No, leave those now. I'll put them away.
All right. I'll just slip out and get a packet of fags.
What about Robin?
Oh, he's quite happy. He's in the study looking through a pile of old photographs. I shan't be a tick.
Hey, don't you want a coat?
No, no, no. It's quite mild. See you, love.
Here you are, Tyke. Don't you turn up your nose, young man. That's got continental dressing. Like some more coffee, Robin?
No, thank you, my dear. There's nothing makes you realise the passage of time more than looking at old snapshots, is there?
No, I suppose not.
Where's our mat?
Slipped out for some cigarettes.
Oh, well, come and sit down. You've worked hard preparing all that food.
I'll just put these photos away if you've finished.
Fine.
I see you've picked out the ones of you.
Only a couple. I was going to ask Matt if he'd mind my having them.
Really?
Here's one that you took of Matt and me together. I'd like that one. And this very handsome shot of yours truly up on Ranley Fell.
Oh, I don't suppose he'd mind.
You know, Renee, I really enjoy coming up here to see you both.
Do you? Good.
You're my only connection now with Yorkshire.
Haven't you anyone left now in Keith?
No, not really. After my aunt died, I lived with her, you know. There was no one.
I suppose not.
She lived in that house all her life.
Next door but three from Matt. Yeah. To hear you now, you'd never believe it.
I speak anonymous English now.
Isn't Matt still very Yorkshire?
Yes, isn't he? Dear old Matt, he never changes. That's one of the things I admire about him.
Don't you believe it, Robin? Huh? You only see one side of him. He's changed all right as Matt. Oh, changed a lot.
In what way?
All sorts of ways. I used to feel like you, good old reliable Matt, but not now.
Why do you say that?
Hasn't he told you about Jean Hebden?
Oh, is that her name? He did mention her.
Ah, thought he might have.
Yeah, just in passing, last time I came up.
She passed all right. She's from Keithley. Did you know that?
No.
Strange. He knew her back in the old days. And then, you see, she turned up here in Fellbridge. She's separated from her husband, lives up the other end of the village.
I see.
Good old reliable Matt fell for her like a ton of bricks. He had to tell me, of course.
Oh, better that way, surely.
How is it better? She's got two kids.
I'm sure it was just a fling.
Fellbridge isn't London, Robin. It's a small place. I run into her sometimes. I can't avoid it. In the shops, mostly.
Yes, it must be difficult.
Well, I get most of the stuff sent up now. Oh, I'd like to get away. Did he tell you that?
No.
I feel threatened here. And I'm very worried about Matthew and all this business.
Don't make too much of it.
Well, don't tell me that they haven't got something against him. Over the past few weeks, that man Coyd has haunted Matt. And now there's the telephone.
They probably just want to reassure themselves.
Well, if they found out about Jean Hebden, they won't be reassured, will they?
Has he talked to you much about his work, Renee?
No, not to me. But he's talked to you, hasn't he, Robin?
Sorry I was so long.
Oh, what kept you? I'll make some more coffee.
Did you see anything unusual?
No. Why, do you think
there... Relax, Matt. Relax.
Do we have to hang about sitting here in the car much longer? I'm thirsty.
I don't think so. Now Harold's back inside, both customers look as if they're tucked up for the night.
Bit of luck, wasn't it, me spotting that car?
Yes, you've got a good nose. Did you give it to once-over?
Of course. I know that garage. They don't usually have cars of that quality standing in their forecourt. They said Formby left it there Thursday night.
So, he'd been here 24 hours before he contacted Harold.
Exactly. I wonder what he did in that time.
We'll find out. I sometimes wonder why the hell we bother. If we're right about these two, they'll probably end up being swapped on a bridge somewhere for one of ours. I don't like that sort of game. And I must say I'd be a darn sight happier if I could have talked to Taurus before taking action. I'll have another go first thing. If there's nothing doing, I think we'd better initiate.
I bet they'd be surprised if they knew what they've got coming.
It wouldn't be all. And the light's just gone out. I'm ready for a good night's sleep.
Sleep well, Harold.
Oh, this really is a marvellous bed. Sometimes, you know, of a winter's morning, I wish it wasn't quite so comfortable.
Very important. A good bed. What's funny?
Oh, talking of beds made me think of what Robin said.
Oh, that one about the couple on their honeymoon. Filthy devil. Couldn't tell that to the Fellbridge Mothers Union.
Oh, he can tell a story all right. Pity is he knows it. He gets so smug sometimes I could hit him.
Rubbish. You only see the man 3 or 4 times a year.
I wouldn't worry if it was less than that.
I would. I haven't got that many friends. I did have quite a lot one time.
Oh, till you got married, you mean?
If you like.
Matt, do you really believe that a man like Robin keeps coming here all the way from London, where he has all the smart things, just to see you and go stomping over the moors? He wants something, and I wish I knew what it was.
He wants exercise and fresh air.
You really know what he gets up to in London?
You know as well as I do. He's got his export business.
Matt, did you say he could help himself to those photographs?
I don't know what you're on about.
Well, after you went for the fags, I went into your study to see if Robin wanted some more coffee, and he was going through that big folder of old snapshots. He'd sorted out the ones with him on.
Yeah, probably wants them as a keepsake or something. He knows he doesn't have to ask. As far as I'm concerned, he can help himself to anything he likes.
Well, not of mine, he can't.
No, he's just a sentimental idiot.
Well, about the old days. Hey, it's a funny thing, you know. He never met Jean, isn't
it? Here we go again. Perhaps he did meet her, I don't know. I wasn't sure I'd met her before, not until later.
Oh, I'm surprised. I thought that as you shared everything else...
Girl,
well, I don't care. I feel awful about that bitch and not much better about Robin Formby. I think he's a menace to both of us.
Oh, really, for heaven's sake, shut it. I can do without you running about prophesying doom and disaster. Look, I'm sorry about the girl. I'm sorry you don't like my oldest friend. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Now, will you please shut it and let's get some sleep?
All right, you close your eyes to the facts. I realised a long time ago that you found it easier to talk to him than to me. You're quite the father confessor, isn't he? And don't think it doesn't hurt, Matt, to know that your husband tells an outsider things that he doesn't tell you. Just you ask yourself whether you haven't been too confiding. Betsy Coyd's acting up.
Never in your life. You're just being hysterical.
Am I? Well, then why don't you ask him, Matt, if you're so sure of him? Just ask him. Why don't you?
Ah, that's better.
I don't know what you've got to complain about. You should try living in London.
I can't breathe in Fellbridge. Just look at that view, Rob.
It's as splendid as ever. But what do you fancy doing?
Eh? I'm easy.
Along the ridge, down into Breckheaton, then over Horton Fell and back to the car.
Suits me. I'd better ring Renee as we get to Breckheaton. Tell her what time we'll be getting back. We weren't very communicative this morning.
Right then.
Hey, watch your step along there, Rob. It tends to get a little boggy.
Oh, right.
Renee went in up to her knees once.
Lucky she had you with her.
I'm lucky I've got her, too.
Yes, I think you are.
I knew at the time, really, that the other girl wasn't right.
Jean Hebden.
How did you know her name?
Renee talked to me last night while you were out.
Did she? Women are strange things.
How do you mean?
What did she say?
Oh, she's been hurt by it all, Matt. That's only natural, of course, but it being a girl living locally must make it very awkward.
For both of us.
Renee said she was from Keighley.
That's fine.
Did I know her?
I don't know. I don't expect so.
Well, what was she called? What was her maiden name?
You're beginning to sound like Betsy Coyd.
Sorry.
What's it matter what her name was?
I can't say, can I?
Rob, I spoke to Renee last night, too. She said something about you sorting out some pictures.
Yes, that's right.
All the pictures I have with you on them.
Yes, yes, I explained. I was going to ask you if I could have them.
Why?
Because I feel somehow I won't be coming up here again, and I want something to remember.
Why should you feel that?
I don't know. Because of what Renee said, I expect about Jean Hebden. Can't see either of you tolerating that situation much longer.
You think I'll leave?
Yes.
You're wrong there, mate.
Am I? Perhaps. Well, anyway, that's why I sorted out those few snaps.
Something else puzzles me, Rob.
Yes?
Why didn't you answer me when I spoke to you on the phone?
Well, there was no need, was there? I'd listened, I'd heard the two clicks. You'd made the point. You'd made a mistake, actually, and I didn't want to compound it.
How do you mean?
Well, if they're investigating you, you shouldn't let them know your suspicions. You could have kept the call non-committal. Instead, you blurted it all out.
I don't see what difference that would make.
I think you often talk before you think, Matt. Well, now, I've answered your questions. Why don't you answer mine?
What question?
What was Jean Hebden's maiden name?
Okay, it was Driffield.
Jean Driffield? Born in Keighley?
Yeah.
Well, then I begin to see why you're so worried about the security check, Matthew. If I were you, I'd be rather concerned myself.
What's this all about, Inspector?
Oh, don't be alarmed, Mrs. Harrell. In the course of our duties, it's become necessary for us to put certain questions to your husband.
Now, believe me, my dear Mrs. Harrell, it'll make things a lot easier all round if you can tell us where your husband has gone.
Believe me, my dear Mr. Coyd, if I knew, I'd tell you. Matthew has nothing to hide. I think they said something about going into Keithley, but I don't think they'll spend all day there. They'll go on somewhere else.
You keep on speaking of they, Mrs. Harrell. Can you tell us the name of your husband's companion?
Oh, don't you know, Mr. Coyd? He's Robin Formby, a very close friend of my husband.
Now, what do you know about Mr. Formby?
He's an old friend. Matthew's known him since he was a kid. Well, they lost contact for a long time, but Robin turned up here about 2 years ago, and well, he's been coming up ever since.
Lives in London, doesn't he?
So do 9 million other people.
Yes, but they don't all pay regular visits to Fellbridge.
It's near his home.
It's also near a highly classified research station, Mrs. Harrell.
I know, Inspector. Matthew works there.
Exactly. Do you know if your husband ever discusses his work with Mr. Formby?
No, why should he?
Does he ever discuss it with you?
Well, there wouldn't be much point in that, Mr. Coyd. I'm not a scientist.
So he could discuss it with Formby without you realizing it?
It's possible.
I believe Robin Formby holds a first-class science degree, similar to that held by your husband.
They were at university together. I didn't know he was qualified in that field. I thought he ran an export business of some kind.
He may do, Mrs. Harrell.
When did Formby arrive?
About 6 o'clock last night.
Are you sure, Mrs. Harrell?
Of course I'm sure. He was supposed to come up on the 6-4.
But he drove here instead?
Yes.
The day before?
What?
Where was he during the previous hours, then?
But he came here...
Do you know why Formby chose to park his car at Epworth's garage rather than outside here?
Did he? Well, perhaps he doesn't like leaving it on the road.
Mrs. Harrell, have you ever heard of a Mrs. Hebden?
No, I haven't. Inspector Grantham, I thought it was my husband you wanted to question.
It all helps, Mrs. Harrell. I hope we haven't upset you in any way.
Not at all, but I have an awful lot to do, so if there's nothing more, I'll show you out.
Thank you, Mrs. Harrell. I hope it won't be too long before Mr. Harrell and his friend come back. We can get this matter cleared up.
Where did they say they were going, Mrs. Harrell?
Wherever they've gone, Mr. Coyd, they'll be back. Matthew won't run away.
I hope not, Mrs. Harrell. That would be a very silly thing to do.
Good day, Mrs. Harrell.
Fellbridge 36. Oh, Matt, thank heaven you've phoned. No, don't say anything, darling, because they may be listening. There's something wrong, Matt. Terribly wrong. Just listen to me for a moment, please.
We should have had a round-the-clock watch on the house, that's all. I had hoped I'd get through to Taurus and have instruction before they were up and about.
Very jumpy, wasn't she? If they've gone to Keithley, I'll eat my hat.
Yes. Still, we'll pass the word through to keep an eye open for them.
If we put a bit more pressure on her, she'd tell us where they are.
No need for that. All we have to do is park somewhere out of sight and let her take us to them. It won't be long now.
Everything okay? Seemed a very short phone call.
Let's get out of here.
Well, what's the hurry? I thought we might have a beer and a pie or something.
Not here. Come on.
All right. Where to?
Anywhere. Up over to Newton Fell.
Has something happened?
I'll tell you when we're clear of the road.
Look, Matthew. Slow down, for heaven's sake. Tell me what's wrong.
Coyd's been to the house.
So?
With another man, an Inspector Grantham.
I see.
Rena says they want me for questioning. If that's what they told her, they probably have a warrant to arrest me.
So that's it.
I don't bloody well get it. I mean, why me?
Should have thought it was obvious.
Not to me, it isn't.
Well, it's my guess that they've found out there's been a leakage of information from Fellbridge.
What do you mean?
Somebody's been telling tales out of school. They think, obviously, that it could be you.
They must be raving mad.
Far from it. They wouldn't move this far without very good reason. I would guess they've uncovered something.
You mean my affair with Jean?
Well, try seeing it from their point of view. I must say, Matt, that if I were looking for somebody to point the finger at, I'd look twice at a man who's been sleeping with the sister of a known subversive. Yes, Matt, that's what Lenny Driffield is, isn't he?
Who says?
Oh, come on, you must know his reputation, or you wouldn't have been so shy about telling me.
I was in love with his sister.
I never even met Lenny. Jean used to talk about him. And I, anyway, give a dog a bad name. A lot of it was just newspaper talk.
And what did you talk about when your head was on her pillow?
Nothing. I never told her anything.
Why? Because you knew about Big Brother Lenny?
Maybe.
But you might have talked if her brother had been the local Conservative candidate.
No.
You were always pretty radical yourself when we were at university. Don't misunderstand me.
I think I have, Rob. For a long time.
I've always respected you for what you are. But if I were asking the questions, I'd want to be sure that you hadn't let your heart rule your head.
God, Robin, you know me. You know I wouldn't tell her.
Why not? You told me, Matt.
Yeah. Yes, I did, didn't I? Though I didn't tell you that they wanted to see you, too.
I can't think why. I don't work at Felbridge.
Maybe they see things straighter than me. Maybe they're not so blind. If anybody got information from my direction, it could have gone through you.
Well, why should it? Why not from Rini? Anybody, even the woman who comes in and does for you. If you're going to doubt me, why not them? You're so damn careless, Matt. Now listen, if you kill somebody by accident, are they less dead than if you did it on purpose?
You'll still have a lot of questions to answer.
I don't think so. I don't work for the government. I didn't ask you to tell me about your work.
You were my oldest friend and you were interested. I can't remember when I didn't tell you everything.
Matt, do you know the story about the businessman whose son asked him to teach him about business? All right, son, he said, jump out of that bedroom window and I'll catch you. And the kid looked down at his father and he jumped. His father looked down at him as he lay on the ground. There you are, son, he said. Lesson number one. Trust nobody.
You bastard. It's you, isn't it?
If I said no, I couldn't prove it any more than you can prove the answer is yes.
Well, I still don't see what difference it makes. I told you a lot of things, I know. But even so, I didn't tell you all of it.
Nobody knows it all, Matt. You tell one piece of the story, somebody else tells another, and before you know where you are, they've guessed the rest. And all that research has been handed over on a plate. Listen to me, Matt. Whatever you do now, there's going to be a mark against your name. Of all people, the man you chose to make your enemy was Coyd. Of all women, you chose Jean Driffield.
And of all friends, I chose you.
If you choose to think so, you go back there, Matt. They'll have you on toast. I'd say you'd face a charge of conspiracy at the very least. You'll never be able to prove you're innocent, never. And you'll still have all your domestic trouble on top of all that. Think about it, Matt. Now, in my line of country, I move about quite a bit. I know a few people. You say yourself that science is international. There is a world elsewhere, Matt. Why not let me help you find it? I could, you know, my car's over the fell. We can be out of here and away in 20 minutes. Just say the word. Why stay here? Take off for somewhere where you'll be appreciated. I might even manage to get Jean, too, if you want her. What do you say?
Come back! You idiot, Matthew! Come back here!
Robin! Robin, what's happened? Where's Matthew? Oh. What have you done to your face?
Now, calm down, my dear Rini, calm down.
Where's Matt?
I wish I knew.
Well, you must know. They've been to the house. I think they're going to arrest him.
Are they?
Oh, don't come the innocent with me. What have you done?
I haven't done anything.
Oh, you filthy little traitor. Matthew's your closest friend.
Rini, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about passing information to an enemy. That's what you've done, isn't it? You knew that Matt was careless. You knew how to make him talk, didn't you? Good old Robin, his friend. Long walks over the fells, talking about his work. His work, Robin, that I couldn't understand, but you could, and you knew how much it was worth.
You're talking nonsense.
Not this time. They know information has been leaked from here now, don't they? They think it's Matthew, but it was you, wasn't it? Picking his brains, letting him spill it all out to the person he trusted most, and all the time you were spitting on him and all that he believes in. You've destroyed Matthew now. Even if nothing comes of this, some of the muck that clings to filth like you will be thrown onto him. Well, I'll tell you this much. Matthew will be able to prove that he's innocent. But when they get to you, Robin, you'll spend the rest of your life in jail, and I hope you rot there. Now, where's Matthew?
Not far away. Over in that direction. You'd better hurry, Rini. Here come the bloodhounds. They must have followed you, my dear.
Matthew! Matthew!
Robin,
looking for me?
Yes?
Let's ask you to come with us. There are certain questions we'd like you to answer.
That won't be necessary.
We don't want any trouble, Mr. Formby.
There won't be any, Mr. Coyne.
We want an explanation, sir.
Yes, of course. What does the code name Taurus mean to you?
Huh?
Will you look at that?
What? Well, I'm damned. I'm pleased to meet you, sir.
You haven't met me, remember that. I'm sorry to butt in on your case, Inspector, but in the circumstances, I felt I'd better deal with it myself.
Where's Huddle?
Forget that, Mr. Coyd. The leakage isn't from him. You'll have to go on looking. We'll take care of Huddle our end.
Well, that's one in the clear, anyway.
It's not quite that. Huddle is careless. It could have been him. He talked to me, and in his position, that's one too many. When Felbridge blew, I had to originate the inquiry. And when I realized who Huddle had been involved with, it looked so bad, I decided to come in personally.
That's a rotten thing to have to do to your best friend.
I don't think he'd call me that anymore. He thinks I'm a traitor. Well, I suppose I am. But I had to push him to the limit. I had to be sure. He won't have to carry the responsibility anymore. We'll phase him out of the classified stuff. Oh, gently, of course, he won't even feel the push. You'd better go on and find him and his wife. They'll be over on the fell somewhere. This is a very beautiful place, isn't it, Grantham?
Yes, sir, it is.
It's a pity I won't be coming back.
That was Fell Swoop by Gordon Lyle. Frank Duncan played Robin Formby, and John Cullen and Barbara Mitchell, Matthew and Rennie Hurrell. Production was by Betty Davis.